Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, including another sweep for our Houston Astros. Congratulations. Two of the worst teams. Three of the four worst teams in the American League. Three of the four worst teams in the American League have now swept the Astros. The only thing, you got to get Kansas City to sweep them, and it'll be a clean sweep of all the crappiest teams in the league having swept the Astros. The Rangers swept them, the Tigers swept them, and the Orioles swept them. And the Tigers and the Orioles were at home. Holy crap. They are playing piss poor baseball right now. After playing so well, they can't come up with a hit. They couldn't get... They didn't leave any runners on base because they didn't have any last night. That's how bad it was. And they just are, they're a mess. Even their starting pitching now has started. The Orioles are, thank God they're leaving. You can't have the Orioles here because they're beating your ass. After you just swept them and made them look so bad up there, they come in here and sweep you back and make you look that bad.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And it was, I don't know what has happened to the bats. I mean, I don't know what has happened to, it's just, this is such a strange sport sometimes, but this is one of the most, it's hard to recall a sweep that was such a drastic polar opposite where you play such great baseball and especially from an offensive standpoint against some pretty good teams and against bad teams. I mean, but you were still just cranking up massive hits, massive runs. You looked absolutely unstoppable. Then all of a sudden on a dime after one rainout that turns into a doubleheader, you cannot score runs anymore. You can't drive guys in off the who are stranded on the base paths. You can't get a big crooked letter inning going. I mean, I'm not counting the other day when you had three late. I'm not, you can't sustain it. And this is against bad pitchers. You know, Matt Harvey, I read his numbers yesterday, a 1.7 whip, a 7 ERA, 3-9. And you couldn't, he had a perfect game through three innings against you.
It was unbelievable.
And yesterday was just really, it was a really, I don't want to say troubling or any of that, but they're in a funk right now, out of nowhere. They are now officially in a funk, an offensive funk. They've lost 5 of 6. I mean, they were rolling. They were, you couldn't catch the Astros without them getting 14 hits against you. That was just going to be the case. And you were lucky if they didn't score a minimum of 8 runs. You were very lucky. And almost rarely was it less than 6 runs. Almost rarely for a span of about 16 games. Now, they can't, now they're struggling to get to a 4 spot, and they're leaving people on base. And then yesterday, Garcia was actually fine after the first inning, but he got squeezed so badly that Stromer got thrown out of a game. Brent Strom over 40 pitches in the first inning for Luis Garcia, and pitches that were strikes were being called balls, pitches that were it wasn't really the other way. I'm talking about just for Brent Strom. I mean, just for Garcia. He was inside the zone with 4 and hit the zone with, I think, either 4 or 5 pitches. I saw on the charted pitches. And they were all balls. And he walked 3 in the first inning, which is how, he gave up 4 runs after with 2 hits. 2 hits, 4 runs. Well, it's because he walked 3 in the first inning, and he just got squeezed a little bit and and before you know it, it's 4-0. Well, that's insurmountable nowadays.
Yeah.
You can't come back from 4-0.
No, no one's ever come back. Well,
if you're the Astros.
Well, no, because yesterday the Cubs got 7 in the first and they lost 15-7.
Yeah.
So you can, You actually.
I've seen the Astros do it before, but not now.
Yeah, no, not this team right now. No, this is as bad as it's. No, this is another run. This team has got just pitiful runs in them against pitiful teams. For whatever reason, they just look like crap at times, and then they look like world beaters. They were up, the rankings every week, whatever. Major League Baseball puts them out, CBS Sports puts them out, all these rankings and everything else. But they were considered last week the second best team in the league behind the Giants, which was rightfully so. That's where they belonged, and here they are now. Couldn't be any crappier. Couldn't be any crappier right now. This yo-yo that this team is on. It's a prolonged stretch right now, and they had a prolonged stretch earlier in the year, not unlike this, almost identical to this, where they couldn't hit and they couldn't pitch and they couldn't do anything right, couldn't field, the bullpen sucked, and then they righted the ship somehow, some way. I don't know what to. Lamont and I are going a little back and forth. Well, they're just playing crappy. It's got nothing to do with the playing of the competition. Well, when you get swept by the Tigers and the Orioles and the Rangers, it's got, to me, it's a lack of focus against these teams.
Lamont, you have to acknowledge their record against the best teams.
The best teams and their
record against the worst teams. And this isn't the first year this has happened.
No.
And this year it's just, they're playing crappy. Yeah, but why? The same team that they beat previously, and that's probably his argument, is they're playing crappy because they swept them before. But there is something, I don't know, there just is something to the fact that they tend to let up a little bit against some of the worst teams. They just do. And it's hard to explain why Detroit had swept them early in the year, why the Rangers took them out, why the Orioles. And this happens at home. Like, they get swept at home. That doesn't make any sense. So I don't know. You just hope that the bats wake up again. I mean, it's just such a stark difference from what we had seen, where now you've lost five of six and you just can't put enough runs on the board out of nowhere. It's just very, very strange. But we're gonna have some sound from Dusty Baker today with Jose Urquidy. He's got some comments on Jose Urquidy, who was put on the injured list, about Brent Strom being kicked out of the game. When the Stromy gets kicked out, the umpire has not done his job if Stromy has to get kicked out of a game in the first. Somebody has not done their job, and this time that was C.B. Buckner.
C.B. Buckner is bad. He's bad, too. I mean, we've got it's Angel Hernandez and C.B. Buckner. That's the 1-2 punch as far as worst Major League managers. Worst Major League umpires. C.B. Buckner has Angel Hernandez has, I guess it's a tight zone, because sometimes it's a strike and sometimes it's not a strike, and then out 4 inches outside, it's a strike. C.B. Buckner, historically, I think, is a really, really tight zone.
Yeah.
He'll throw strikes, and it'll be like, nope, that's a ball. And you're like, what? How can that be a ball, dude?
That's tough, man. That's tough. It's tough on pitchers.
Yeah, because you know what? Now you got to put it down the middle. In a C.B. Buckner game, pitchers have to throw it down the middle, Astros, and you're going to get hit.
But that's great for the Astros against the Orioles. That should be a benefit, is if you're squeezing a zone against the Astros are going to have a better hitting team than you have.
Yeah.
Let's listen to let's pull up the strike zone, Dell. That was cut number two. I was going to go to the Strom cut, but since we're talking about the strike zone, Dusty Baker had made a comment about, Brent Strom got kicked out of the game, but it's worth noting that Dusty Baker talked a little bit about how the strike zone was. I was a little bit shaky last night.
I think the strike zone wasn't in Garcia's favor early, because it seemed like there were a number of balls that were strikes, especially up in the strike zone, that got his pitch count high. And then after that, he settled down.
And that was Dusty Baker talking about
the strike zone. It's hard. It's hard when he's squeezing you like that. It's hard. Well, you don't know what to do. Well,
plus the Astros.
And then you got to lay it in there.
The Astros, but their whole thing is fastball up. Like on their strikeout pitch, they look to go fast. They work up and down in the zone. And if you're not getting your fastball high, if you're not getting your fastball at the top of the zone, that's a problem. And one of the architects of the pitching strategy, Brent Strom, the pitching coach, the great Brent Strom, yeah, future Hall of Famer Brent Strom. Brent Strom got kicked out of the first. He got kicked out of the game in the first inning. And Dusty talked about that as well.
He had a point. you know, and you don't see Stromy. I don't know how many times he's gotten run, but I haven't seen him since I've been here. So, you know, he must have really, you know, really been frustrated. You know, he lives and dies with our pitchers and their performance. And, you know, he thought he was right.
At one point in the game, Julian Morales put this out there on Twitter. At one point in the game, Zach Greinke got off the bench and went after a strike was called and went up to the top step and began to applaud loudly for the strike, like just to make a point to C.B. Buckner. Zach
ain't getting any strikes next time he pitches.
Zach can throw where he wants.
You had a montage of Josh Donaldson.
Yeah.
Yesterday, that is unbelievable.
It's called The Angriest Man in Baseball, Josh Donaldson.
Josh Donaldson.
It's on YouTube.
And I can't imagine there isn't one umpire that wants to call a ball for Josh Donaldson.
I was wondering that, too, when you actually, when I was watching Josh Donaldson, when you see him talking trash to umpires so much, at some point, we remember what happened with O'Malley or whatever it was, Jake O'Donnell. It was Jake O'Donnell. When it was Jake O'Donnell and Clyde Drexler. So way back in the day, Clyde had beef the ref had beef with Clyde. I don't know. And it was so bad, Clyde got run from a playoff game against Utah. And the league, and what I would say is unprecedented, they obviously knew there was some kind of personal vendetta with this referee, Jake O'Malley. And basically he was done reffing after that. They were done with him reffing. You know, the same thing can easily happen in football, but especially baseball. And I would think that is really, really tough. Now, at some point, you can lean on a ref so much that you get calls. Like they want to even it out. But if you go too far, I think that's a problem. I think the Rockets at times have gone a little far, and you do wonder if the Rockets with the whole organization would try to show up, you know. I get fighting for your team, but sometimes they would go so far that I just would wonder, are they just going to be viewed as a bunch of crybabies who are never, where referees, their human nature will kick in and they just don't want to call things?
Yeah. No, listen, I'm telling you, if Zach Greinke is, if C.B. Buckner sees him standing on that top step.
You're showing
step,
me up.
Yep, absolutely. He is going to have a rough time next time he's got C.B. Buckner. Or, you know what, and listen, C.B. Buckner just sucks. So C.B. Buckner is going to C.B. Buckner next time Zach Greinke's on the mound. But it's human nature. If you're showing me up, Josh Donaldson shows up all kinds of umpires and kicking the dirt after he hits the home run all over the plate because he didn't like one of the strike or ball calls and getting thrown out. You don't think every umpire sees that and says, "Watch next time Donaldson's up when I'm behind the
plate." Doesn't just have words for umpires.
No, he's got words for
everybody. He had thoughts about one Ozzie Guillen.
You know, I got Ozzie Guillen talking on the air saying that I'd let one go and hit him in the ribs. Ozzie Guillen, you were under a career 700 OPS hitter, man. Like, you were a three-time All-Star and you had under a 700 OPS. My worst season in the big leagues is 150 points higher than that.
These are the things he's discussing.
He's literally running OPS smack at a manager / former player.
Listen, Josh Donaldson, you got to watch that. Josh Donaldson is the angriest man in baseball.
Josh Donaldson literally could be a commentator for.
Oh,
he's the Conor McGregor of baseball. I don't know how else to describe
it. He really is.
There's one more because, you know, he had issues with Giolito.
Yeah.
Saying it's not sticky anymore.
And Giolito said what did he say that was a...
He called him a
fraud?
A punk or yeah. I forgot what he called him.
Yeah, they had...
Well, Donaldson said, you know, he said I should confront him to his face.
Oh,
he goes, well,
no.
I did.
The last thing that I had, he said, I wish he'd say it to my face, right? Well, I did say it to his face. We had a talk last night. And let's just be quite frank with this. He didn't have much to say. I didn't think it was that big of an issue. Obviously, he did. He was walking to the parking lot, and I saw him, and I went and made sure he heard what I had to say to his face because that's what he wanted. That's what he wanted. You know, he said that he thought it was annoying. I said, so what? I'm on the opposing team. What do you care about me? I said, I'm in your face. I'm telling you what I think.
That's it. I'll tell you this. Giolito don't want no piece of Josh Donaldson.
Josh Donaldson is a for real psychopath.
He's like a hockey player.
No, he's a for real psychopath.
Yeah, yeah.
When you said, next time say it to my face,
yep.
You just invited him into, you shouldn't have said that.
And he walks up on you in the parking lot?
He was so excited to hear you say that. Trust me, hands would have been thrown in a parking lot. If Giolito would have got a little sparkly with them, it would have, something would have ensued.
He don't want none of that.
Nah, something would have ensued.
715 ESPN 97.5 713.
I can't stress enough how much you need to go watch Josh Donaldson, Angriest Man in Baseball on YouTube.
He is by far.
He is a psychopath.
He is no question.
But he's kind of entertaining.
No, it is.
I like him now. Like they have one cut is him on Major League Baseball. MLB Network. They say who do you find to be the most intimidating person to face in baseball? He goes none of them.
He's awesome. All right, taking a break. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on the Astros? You're more than welcome. Chris Paul makes the finals. We'll talk about that on the other side. Right now, though, I am talking about Chastain Ford. My peeps over at Chastain Ford. Love Chastain Ford. In stock right now on the lot. If you're looking for that Ford car or truck, including the F-150, they've got it is spectacular what they're doing over at Chastain Ford. There's a lot of dealership that do not have any cars on the lot, but they do at Chastain Ford. So if you're looking for whatever it is, the inventory, it is ready for you, ready to step into the – if you're ready to step into the future, you can sign up for the F-150 that is going to be electric, and it is going to be totally sweet. Go to Chastain Ford, and you can sign up there. I did. I signed up for mine, and it's probably a year out, year and a half out, whatever it's going to be, but it is going to be totally sweet. They've got everything on the lot. If you're a business and you need any kind of car or truck or transit van or whatever it is that you need, you've got it right now. They are the number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston. That is something for Fords. That is something spectacular. And you know business is all about the bottom line. Why do they go to Chastain Ford? Because they know the bottom line is going to be the best. They know they're going to get the service, and they know they are going to get the right price and the people as well. They know Chastain Ford is going to be taking care of them throughout the life of that car or truck. So if you're looking for that kind of service on the retail side as well, all you got to do is get to ChastainFord.com or get to the dealership. It's on Homestead, 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's only 5 minutes from downtown, people. It's Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Not in the playoffs the last 10 years. That's never happened before. A team making the finals after missing the playoffs for 10 years or more. Paul putting on the finishing touches. What a performance from Chris Paul. 41 points. He has waited his entire career to make the finals. In his 16th year at age 36, he will play for the NBA championship starting next week.
All right, that was ESPN. And
that was Mike Breen.
Mike Breen and the crew.
God, I mean, Chris Paul was unreal. 31 in the second half, and he was just busting threes in anyone's face that wanted it. He was hitting his pull-up fadeaway jumpers mid-range. I mean, Chris was magnificent and highly emotional throughout the game. And I think a lot of it was that's former. You know, you have to remember, he's former Clipper. You know, the uniforms look a little different. I know the stadium and the way it's configured right now looks different, but that's where he played. I mean, those were a crowd that, and I wonder if he felt like he had some, I don't know. I know he was super excited about making it to he went over and hugged Billy Crystal after the game. He's one of the guys who had the mask on. I could tell it was Billy Crystal. And he had some, you know, there's some people there who are still friends that he's still friends with. Mm-hmm. The weirdest thing was him and Lil Wayne afterwards. That Lil Wayne looked like somebody's super old grandma with his blonde hair. It looked like somebody with like, I don't know. It was very strange when Lil Wayne came out of the crowd, but which I assume was his time with the in New Orleans, but they have a relationship, I would assume. But I don't know. Chris, it's like he had some beef with L.A. It's like he has some beef with the Clippers organization. Well, I guess when he got traded, he, you know, Chris is a guy that strikes me as somebody who takes down notes.
Yeah.
On, okay, oh, no. You just made my little list.
Yeah. Oh, he absolutely does. And, he, you know, against the organization, he was criticized. How long was he criticized because he couldn't get them over the top? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he caught it there. There's no question about it. So he wanted to give it back. He shot. His shot was unbelievable. He was just so, so good. And after being so bad, for quite frankly, for him to do this and end it in L.A. Is kind of fitting. And now going to the finals for the first time. But not before. Man, what is up? Pat Bev? Holy crap.
Pat has taken, you know, Pat's gone from being an edgy guy that some people thought. Pat's just a legitimate cheap shot.
He's
artist.
Just a cheap shot.
He really, this whole series, because Phoenix is a finesse team, and I want to get into that a little bit more. Even when Pat, you know, they got some guys who've got some rough in them in the Clippers, including Boogie Cousins, Marcus Morris. Like, they got some dudes that will, Pat Beverly, that's kind of a rough and rugged team, roughneck team. You look at what the Phoenix Suns, yesterday Chris Paul got pushed to the ground after when Pat Beverly just lost it and pushed Chris Paul from behind to the ground, and no one even like.
Well, we got the sound. Let's hear what the guys were talking about when it happened. There's 5:49 left. Chris Paul just knocked down a three. It made the game 118-92. And here's what happened.
Devin Booker's at half court talking to the fans.
Paul for three, puts it in. 118-92. The Suns have blown it open. 37 points for Paul.
Booker talking to the fans, understanding we've seen this movie before. We have an issue on the court right now between both teams, but Chris Paul.
Beverly and Chris Paul.
Beverly
and Paul after knocking down that shot. This is now live.
As Beverly and Paul get it to look like some kind of pushing match as the players are going to their respective benches after the timeout was called.
That wasn't it at all.
Chris, I mean,
they hadn't seen the replay yet.
Like as it gets, Patrick Beverly losing control.
He said something. Paul said something to him, and he reacted inappropriately.
You've been chirping.
He came from behind, and a good hard push that snapped Chris Paul's neck head back, and he went to the ground. He walked by him, and it didn't look like it was much that Chris Paul did or said. I mean, if it was a look or whatever it was, but from behind, Patrick Beverly comes up and pushes him pretty hard, mm-hmm. and to the ground, and Beverly gets ejected. Pat Bev has turned into he's a punk on the court. He's not. It's not. He plays hard. It's not. He's cheap. He's cheap. And that's, you know, that's ugly. We loved him here, how hard he played.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was fun to watch here. He would hit some big shots, but he was always in somebody's face. He was it's fine to be a pest, but not doing what he did last
night. No. Pat is just, he buys into his persona too much. I mean, it's kind of like when the Bad Boy Pistons became caricatures of themselves, yeah. Where they would intentionally, like, Pat would have fit in well with that Pistons team.
He would have been perfect for that team.
That's kind of how they played ball. If you're too young to know how the Pistons play ball, imagine like 9 Pat Beverleys on the same team. And even guys who didn't used to be Pat Beverly turning into Pat Beverly. Like John Sally. John Sally wasn't a Pat Beverly, and then he became a Pat Beverly.
Yeah.
Isaiah had a little Pat Beverly in him once.
They all did.
Yeah.
They all did.
They had, and then you had
maybe
full
not
on,
the microwave.
You know, Laimbeer was Pat Beverly.
Maybe not the
maybe
microwave.
Pat Beverly is actually Bill Laimbeer.
It may be. No, Bill Laimbeer was a cheap shot. Oh, Rodman, the stuff he did.
And that's
did.
Back when you could get away with what would be considered a flagrant 2 in today's basketball and stay in games.
Yep. No,
you could fight and stay in games at one point in the 70s and 80s. You could be in a fist fight and stay in a game as long as no one, you know, as long as a hard punch didn't land. If it's a glancing blow, now if you leave a bench, and I'm not saying that was a better, you know, you had to clean it up. But, man, Pat is just kind of, Pat was pissing me off yesterday. Pat was.
That was bad.
And I was okay with Pat when he was here. He's one of those guys that I think the way he plays, you love it. I think coaches love this, but Pat has gone too far, too frequently. Like, he's not just a pest. He's kind of, and for him to lose his control, Chris Paul got into his head. Because Chris Paul didn't even say anything. He gave him a look, but he didn't even say anything walking by Pat Beverly. And as he's walking to the bench, Pat Beverly turns around and has to stalk down, goes over and punches, I mean, and pushes him hard to the ground. But none of the Suns, like, jumped up in Beverly's face, which I thought was a little unusual.
Yeah,
like,
Frank Kaminsky was right there.
Hey, what's the deal? What are we doing here? Come on, Pat.
Frank Kaminsky has not gotten into a game, and he was standing right there, and he went, he was just looking, and he went,
nobody on the
Suns. He actually saw Pat Bev coming. You could see he was looking at Pat Beverly coming from behind.
Yeah.
He did absolute, Frank Kaminsky.
Nobody in the Suns got
Pat Beverly. He gave him a little shove. I'm looking at it right now. Frank Kaminsky didn't stop him, but after it was over, he gave him like a, hey, knock it off. Gave him a little shove.
Yeah, a little, knock it off. Stop that.
Yeah, and then he shoved him a little bit. Hey, hey, buddy, that's not fun.
That's not playing well with others.
Come on, friend.
728 ESPN 97.5. Gary wants to get in here on Pat Bev. Let's get him in here quickly. Hey, Gary.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say I've been a Rockets fan forever, and I did not like Pat Bev's antics when he was with the Rockets. I know a lot of people say you like it when he's on your team. I did not. I did not like him when he was here. I thought the thing that he did to Russell Westbrook was cheap. It was unnecessary. I thought it was dirty. And I can't stand Russell Westbrook either. But what he did last night, I mean, they need to bring fighting back to the NBA. It should have been an all-out melee. That was completely unnecessary, not to mention all of the other cheap stuff that he did. I really hope they suspend him because, you know, I mean, I'm all for, you know, a little old-school basketball, but that was just cheap, unnecessary. And that's his whole brand, is that I can get away with this. Because there's no, you know, old school enforcers that's going to beat the crap out of him anymore. And I just feel like he's cheap. And, like, what he's bringing to the game now is just completely unnecessary. Not a fan at all. Was not a fan when he was here with the Rockets.
That's fair.
I think that's a really good call because I think that's true. That is, Pat sees that as his brand now. This is his brand, and he's become a caricature of himself with some of the stuff. But yesterday was just... I don't think that was his brand. I think that was Pat Beverly showing. That's the guy he lost. Chris Paul got in his head because Chris talks a lot too, and Pat lost his cool. And Gary's right. There's no old school enforcer. Like, you don't have enforcers on Phoenix. Who's the enforcer? There's not an enforcer on Phoenix. That's a new school finesse team. That's a finesse team with two old school cats on it. Who, by the way,
Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder.
Those two
Jay
guys.
Crowder could be.
Jay Crowder and that's the old school guy. Jay Crowder and Chris Paul, the two old school guys who they showed out the most, I think, in the whole game. Jay was unbelievable in the first half and Chris in the second half. But, Bev is just – it's gone too far.
I watched it and go, look, haven't we all wanted to shove Chris Paul in the back at some point?
No.
Yeah, but no. You can't just
I'm not
do
saying
it.
He should have.
Of all of the former Rockets, that's the guy I want to see win the most.
I mean, as compared to the ones who were available, well, sure. But
No.
He's got a lot of weasel.
Of them that we're in.
I'm saying the ones who are available throughout the playoffs.
I'll pull up the highlight reel of Chris Paul doing weasley stuff.
Yeah.
When somebody pulled
Chris
it up
never
to me,
did that. He's a good guy.
Let me tell you, Chris has some weasel in him, too.
No, Chris
I love,
is a great
I love
person.
Chris Paul and what he – I love the way he plays the game and all that stuff, and I want him to win, too. I really do. But Chris Paul has a history of doing some weasley stuff.
I'm not saying.
Not Pat Beverly necessarily, but he's done some cheap stuff.
And I'm not saying. Well, he hit a dude. He hit two guys in the nuts.
In the choo-choos.
I'm not saying Pat Bev should have did what he did, but when I analyze Chris Paul and all that went on throughout that series, I'm like, I get it.
731 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Listen, I don't know that the kids can hear the next segment, but this Trevor Bauer story. You got to talk. Holy crap. It is something. It is really, really something. We'll talk about it on the other side here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now I'm talking about Jeff Aronoff over to Absolute Marble and Granite. He's really something too. He is ready for you to give him a call and get that big job done. What is it? What is it that you need done? An entire kitchen? You need it? You need to redo that whole thing? You need to put in an outdoor kitchen? He put it in. He put one in for us, man. It was awesome. I just had a grill. Actually, I had a couple different ones. I had a Traeger, and I had a gas grill. And he was like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And he put the whole countertop. So he put an eating area, a countertop for us to eat at, a place for, you know, the garbage, for the refrigerator out there. It was perfect. It was perfect. And it helped us sell the house. And listen, if you're not going to make renovations to your house when it's time to sell, you're not going to get the value that you want for your home. You got to put some money into it, people. And Jeff Aronoff will do. He will help it improve the value of your home or your business, no matter what it is. So you're looking for that? You got it. It's Absolute Marble and Granite. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Wow. We got a website. What site is this? Apollo Media? It's got every strike that C.B. Buckner should have called.
Or close ball.
Right.
Or close ball. And how he didn't get any of the calls.
And listen, Garcia was working the corners. He was working up and down. It was.
Look, and it's the other, you know, they showed the other pitcher too. Like, the first inning was the other pitcher was Matt Harvey. The first inning was a disaster for C.B. Buckner in terms of how tight his strike zone was.
He's historically, though. See, and in a C.B. Buckner game, if you've got to come over, if you've got to put it down the middle.
Ooh, let's see, that was a strike.
Yeah, I mean, that's so inconsistent. It's just ridiculous. If you got a tight zone, that's fine. But you better have a tight zone for both. And you better be consistent on this. And he missed so many. That was so far outside. Yeah. He called a strike. I know.
It was huge. That was a 3-2 count for Javier. Like, it actually went against both teams. The problem is it really went hard against Luis Garcia in the first inning. And it helped lead to 3 walks, which helped lead to 4 runs in the first. And that was it. Holy gosh. I was at my daughter's swim meet during the first, and I didn't see some of the calls. Good crime. I need to retweet this. There's a strike that you're about to see called right there.
Oh my gosh.
That's Bauer. Awful. That's Trevor Bauer bad. And that's not when I say Trevor Bauer bad, I need to use context at this particular point. Because that was a breaking pitch. That was a slider that could maybe fool an umpire. That's a left-hander coming from the left side and missing out on the left side of the plate by 3 inches. That's an easy ball call. That's not a hard. That doesn't fool the eyes at all.
Mm-hmm.
C.B. Buckner was just legally blind last night. He was legally blind, and the Astros paid for it. Of course, they also just didn't hit.
So, speaking of Trevor Bauer. Wow. So there, a woman has filed a restraining order against him. And the restraining order is interesting because his lawyer, Trevor Bauer's lawyer, says they haven't talked or seen each other for months or 6 weeks or so. And there has been absolutely no conversation. So I don't know what she would need a restraining order for. But the accusations that she has made. Now, Trevor Bauer's lawyer came out with text messages between the two in which there's talk about, you know, rough stuff that she likes and different stuff. But her accusations about what Trevor Bauer did to her without her consent. Initially, she was the sex was consensual. And apparently a little rough stuff. They had a safe word.
They met on Instagram. He didn't know her. They met on Instagram. She drove from San Diego to L.A. or vice versa to meet him or no, San Diego to Pasadena to his house. And they met there, and apparently in the flirtatious emails,
comes out of Instagram
they knew there was going to be, yeah.
Really?
They knew there was going to be rough sex. That was, okay, so you better put the earmuffs on if the kids are listening. Yeah, that's none of this is for the kids.
You got to watch.
But this was, like, they talked about stuff. Do you like, have you ever been choked? Do you like to be choked? Yes. This was going to be a thing. She was into BDSM, I guess. But the allegations are concerning because it goes well beyond that and into non-consensual stuff, which is going to be a concern for Bauer moving forward. Read some of the accusations.
So allegedly the woman went to his house on May 15th, asked her to agree to a safe word. 5 minutes into sex, she claims he started choking her again to the point of unconsciousness. When she awoke, she says Bauer was punching her head several times with blows to her left jaw, left side of her head, and both cheekbones. After punching her, she says he flipped her onto her stomach and choked her again to unconsciousness.
Well, that was just one of the things. She also claimed that he...
The woman said she started crying and shaking violently when she woke with pain behind both her ears, to which Bauer allegedly reacted by repeatedly saying, "You're safe, I'm here, you're safe."
Read the first one. You're reading the second one.
Oh, yeah.
The first one is he chokes her out with her own hair and then does something, and then does...
And she woke up bleeding.
Yeah. Does something bad.
From her anus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was... And she said, to her account, the woman reportedly provided multiple pictures to the court showing her face visibly bruised with two black eyes, a bloodied lip, scratches to the side of her face. And she also reportedly provided text messages and voicemails from Bauer afterward to the court. She underwent two medical evaluations, her second encounter with Bauer after her second encounter, including a trip to the emergency room a day after the second encounter, where she had CT scans of her brain, face, and neck. She had significant head and facial trauma. It's ugly. It's ugly. And it's interesting. I mean... The text messages do say that she wanted it rough, but apparently, yeah, there was a limit to what she wanted, and Trevor Bauer exceeded it, according to her.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be an interesting case. This will be interesting to see how this works out. The punches and why can't people just, have relations anymore?
And considering the
consensual anymore.
I don't know. The dynamic of the situation, powerful sports figure with a lot of money. This woman, I don't know who she is. I mean, the lawyer has released her name. Publications have either chosen to release her name or not. But this is on the heels of, good old Bill Cosby. And people are up in arms about women who allege that they've been sexually assaulted. This is why women don't come forward, because Bill Cosby, because of a deal he made with a lawyer to kind of admit to some of these facts in a civil case. The agreement was, if I do this, then I won't get charged in the criminal case. He got released yesterday. So he spent, what is it, 2 years or something? Two years?
I think maybe more than that.
A little, like 3 years or so.
Yeah.
In jail.
The Cosby getting overturned news, when I heard that yesterday, I was like,
what?
Wait a minute. What?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Because of a deal he made.
Kind of got him on a technicality, really. It was just
a deal was struck.
It was the law.
Yeah, a deal was struck. Hey, if you admit to these, then you won't get prosecuted. They went ahead with the prosecution, so the deal was overturned, and, people were going on Twitter, and probably rightfully so, talking about, wait a minute, the rich guy makes a deal, pays a couple bucks, and because of that deal, the women he assaulted are like, wait a minute, 3 years or whatever the number was for what he did, and now you're gonna see, I imagine, we'll see how this one plays out, but it'll just go down that path of women saying, hey, why would I come forward if this doesn't go, if Trevor Bauer did anything. I don't know if he did.
Yeah, this will be interesting if it's only, well, we'll see what criminally happens, and now, and then civilly as well. There'll probably be some civil as well. Get your money, girls. If If the courts aren't going to do anything about it, get your money.
Yeah, criminally at least. Yeah,
criminally. If the courts are going to let Bill Cosby go, holy crap. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, 743 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us here. 713-780-3776 right here on ESPN 97.5. Today's the day, boys. Name, image, likeness. Today's the day.
Yeah, it would already, Quincy.
We'll talk about it on the other side. We'll do it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about HRP. I almost had to, Dell kind of really, really, I almost had to call a human resources.
Why? She was right there.
Because, because you're talking about how nice Laura is and how.
Our HR person.
Our HR person. How delightful she is and how undelightful I am.
Well, I'll give you the specific quote if you want to use it as evidence. I'll say it on the air. I said, oh, look, it's the most delightful person in the office and the least delightful person in the office right together because Laura was coming out of the office and you were coming out of the bathroom.
Right. So I asked her to call HRP to see whether or not I could press charges against you.
They don't press charges. HRP doesn't press charges.
Well, you... Yeah, so here's the deal.
It's not a criminal act, what I said.
It's not an indict. They're not going to indict Dell for something.
You don't know that they won't, okay, because that would hurt my feelings, and it hurt me emotionally for the rest of the day. I didn't play well at all yesterday.
And you're blaming it on me.
Yeah, so here's the deal is if you're looking for someone that's going to take care of your HR like HRP takes care of our HR, we do. We call them when we have issues, if we've got anything going on, and sometimes we do, like Dell, people like Dell. And David Gow has already admitted that it wasn't me. And I'm going to tell everybody it was probably Dell. We don't know, though. So here's the deal is if you're looking for that kind of HR, if you're looking for the best payroll, too, I mean, they're awesome. And the key to this is you throw in the taxes and what they do for you tax-wise. It's so easy. It's so great. You throw in the PPP, small business loans that they were unbelievable with. Their knowledge for the Affordable Care Act, all of these things. And they're just, it's personalized, it's customized, everyone is different. It's you're getting the service that is second to none. You're looking for that kind of payroll company, you got it. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. It's NIL Day. The first day that players can sign deals with companies to make money off their name, image, and likeness. And Spencer Rattler... He put out a statement. I swear I'm not a greedy athlete. Don't be mad at me.
What? That was my interpretation.
Oh, that was yours?
No, he didn't write that himself.
Oh, you put it in quotations. I was wondering where it was because I saw his statement. No, it didn't have that in it.
It was my interpretation. Hey, guys, please don't be mad at me.
Here's what he said. I'm excited for the opportunities ahead with name, image, and likeness. This is a great new era for college athletes. At the same time, we must continue to prioritize academics and athletics. I'm focused on my grades and growing on the field and in hopes of bringing a national championship to Norman.
That is...
Go on, he also
who is
said,
the PR rep that wrote that for him?
Didn't he say he was going to donate some of his anything he makes to charity?
I will donate a part of any earnings I receive to help underserved people and underserved communities. The time is good.
He knows what community...
He's already got... I'm pretty sure our boy Dusty is already...
Man, Spencer Rattler, stop approaching people with your eyes down and being so subservient. I know you're afraid because you're Norman. You're afraid of what those people
here
say
comes,
to you.
Here comes.
Stop it.
What's your beef against? I can't only imagine what your beef is against Spencer Rattler.
No.
Is it similar to your hatred of Trae Young?
Why didn't he go to
and
Miami?
Also, Steph Curry?
No, he didn't.
He went to Oklahoma.
Stop it with the subservient. Guys, I swear I'm not the greedy athlete.
Light-skinned
you're going to accuse me of.
Killed by
you know what De'Aaron King did? Hey, my website's here. Go to it. Buy stuff.
Is that what he did?
Yeah, he did.
He did.
Derek is going to make over $1 million. Derek could make more in college football than he makes in pro football. That's I'm being honest. Unless he becomes a really, a quality I think, a wide receiver. But these guys are going to make so much more than you know, because early on, there's going to be a mad rush. It's going to be like Bitcoin, where no one really has a great feel for it. And I think Dusty and Zach, who we had in studio, know that the market is going to level off at some point. This year is going to be a feeding frenzy where the top guys are going to get money like you've never seen. But then, I was talking to Jeff Schwartz. We were texting back and forth. You know, he went to Oregon. He's just said, I can't wait for Phil Knight to start getting involved now. I'm like, the difference between Phil Knight is, if Phil Knight was going to take care of people under the table, if you're a player, I mean, the NIL sounds great, but wouldn't you rather have your money tax-free under the table? I guess not. I guess you'd rather have it taxable and all this stuff. But Phil Knight also understands rate of return for his investment. He's not just going to throw dumb money out at players and not have any, like, if they can't sell merch at all. That's why they stopped having football players in general with shoe deals. You don't really hear about that. Remember when Emmitt Smith had them? Right. Football guys don't sell shoes.
You know, some guys, though, it'll be interesting. Because some guys, I don't know. I don't know that Boone Pickens. I don't know that Phil Knight. I don't know that guys were actually paying players. You know, which guys were actually. We know players have been paid. We don't know who's doing it. But if Phil Knight said, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I want to say, I don't want to get kicked out. I've got all this ties to Oregon.
Yeah.
But now it's legal for him to go and pay for athletes, to the school that he loves and help the school that he loves.
He's
legally
also a great businessman. Does he think he's going to make a great deal sponsoring the Oregon outside linebacker like Kayvon Thibodeau, who could be a top pick in the draft? I mean, he's already playing for your team. I mean, what's the point of giving him a Nike deal? He's already on your roster.
To keep him, let's not forget the transfer portal. You can go anywhere.
He's a junior.
To the highest bidder.
I think a lot of the guys won't. Well, if that's done, that will have to be punished. Like, the NCAA will have to step in and sanction teams.
Yeah, it's going
to
be hard to prove, but okay. Yeah. I mean, and there's going to be a lot of, instead of, that guy's recruiting and look at what he's paying money under the table. It's going to be, that guy is now, he's trying to recruit my players.
But this is a big problem. Like, this is a potential big problem because it's going to turn college football into, remember now, the scholarship is an academic scholarship. You're taking it from somebody else to go to school. You can't, and that is a financial amount that the college looks at. Hey, this could be something that someone else is getting. For you to play games with that, they're not going to let their rosters be poached. They're going to do whatever they can. Now, like you said, it's going to be hard to prove it, but the NCAA, if they find there's any. If there's any substance to those claims, have to come down extraordinarily hard on teams. You can't let that. You can't land a state. It's illegal.
Yeah,
and you got to just say, okay, you got 3 year. You're out for 3 years from bowl games. You're out 3 years. You can't make the playoffs, and that stuff will slow down.
Yeah, trust me, it was happening. I can't tell you. I know for a fact. Hey, I've seen coaches call other coaches and say, you best get off my player. You best
get off.
But that
was in recruiting, right?
No, on their roster.
Oh, yeah, but not typically the best players who are thriving at a team, like happy at a team. We're talking about potentially NIL opens the opportunity potentially to go poach the best players off of a team. Just ran, or even good players off the team.
They were doing that before.
But where did you see it happen?
I've seen it happen.
No, but who transferred? Who are the good players who are transferring from good teams?
You've seen left tackles that leave teams and go to another school.
But you had to sit out.
Yeah, or you were done. You were a senior and you were able to go to another team.
Yeah, and that's
fine. That's fine, except for the fact that they had to finish their schooling and they had to get it done. And listen. Poaching players, it's a problem. There's no question now that the transfer portal. But that's a different story.
Yeah.
NIL now, here's the deal, is the schools that do it best, the schools that embrace this, that lean into this, that say, you know what, we're putting together a staff for NIL, and we're going to work this thing as hard as we can.
Dusty said they can't. I asked the same thing. Dusty said it's not legal. Teams cannot be involved with NIL.
I know they can't be involved with NIL, but helping the people, if you're educating and you're
can't be hired by the school. It's illegal.
No, I know that. I know you can't hire Dusty's or Zach's. No. But you can have a department in your school where you are helping your kids get through all of this stuff. And, oh, by the way, when – listen, I'm going to tell you this. They're going to have to find a way for these boosters to be able to get with the Dusties and whatnot. Schools that have access to or boosters that have access to the Dusties and the Zacks, you're going to be recruiting through those guys now. You're going to basically be recruiting through their handlers.
This is going to be so this is that Pandora's box I was worried about. This is going to be so much trickier than people know because there are so many angles that you've never thought of. And what I was told by someone is that the compliance side has said literally anything is a go. There is nothing that can be stopped at this point.
It's the Wild West.
Nothing can be stopped at this point.
You look at the University of Miami football's official account. Their latest tweet 13 hours ago was about their NIL program. It's called Ignite. It's so they fully embraced it. It helps. You're in Florida, no state tax, but they're one of the first ones to go, look, guys, and it's going to be used as a recruiting tool. We're going to
absolutely
educate you and walk you through everything you need to
know. The ones that do this, I'm not talking about that.
They can't do that.
The ones who do what Miami is doing the best, and you know Nick is going to lean into this. You know he's going to embrace this and get as close to the line as he possibly can.
I feel like they trample over the line. They trample all over the line.
They've been trampling over the line. LSU, all of the SEC schools have been trampling that line for so long. But the ones that are able to work this thing to their advantage the best are going to be the ones that are going to benefit the most.
Well, we got numbers on De'Aaron King. De'Aaron King, he and Mackenzie Milton have become friends, so they're going to have a NFT type deal. But as far as actual money is concerned, he signed a deal with a moving company by guys who are Miami grads. They started a moving company. He and Bubba Bolden, who is an all ACC safety. So not only De'Aaron King, but De'Aaron King's numbers, he's getting $20,000 and a $10,000 signing bonus to promote their products pretty much online to start. So we actually have real numbers for one deal. And I think they'll pay him, besides the signing bonus, I think they said he'll get a monthly payment, but he'll get $10,000 up front.
Well, those guys can also own their own companies to film their own commercials and get paid for that, too. So that's going to be that company, too. Film company could be, all right, you're also going to film all my commercials, and the commercials cost this much to film. Bring it in. Bring it all in.
They're getting $20,000. They say, okay, this is the first big money. Wait till you see what De'Aaron King is going to make. This ain't no first money.
It's the first time.
It's weird that De'Aaron King is going to be, I think, the most. I think he's going to make the most money.
Is it because of Miami? Is it because of the city?
I don't know. I think because, Dusty, first of all, and Dusty Stanfield is a very good friend of mine. Dusty's one of my favorite people in the entire world. And I like Zach a lot, too. Zach is going to eventually become one of the most powerful people in all of sports. He was on the show, Zach Soskin. I firmly believe that. And I believe that for 3 years since I've gotten to know Zach and how kid's still in his, I don't know if he's in his 20s or early 30s. But Zach is friends with a lot of the most powerful athletes that are out there. And he started off doing Adidas grassroots, which meant he was in all the high schools and then all the opening and not the opening, but the elite camps and all the quarterback camps. Well, anyway, the fact that Dusty Stanfield, who has been a longtime marketing rep, had his own company for a lot of NFL players, he understands the space. He understands how much things go for. He understands what's out there. He's already got connections with shoe companies, with trading card companies, with all these companies, and he knows how to put together a package. And he just went out there and you put the two of those together, a guy with that experience and talent, another young guy and Zach who is tight with a lot of these quarterbacks already, and they are going to be getting and that's why I think De'Aaron King was, it's partially maybe Miami, but a lot of it is also going to be the fact that the guys who understand how to sell it and who attack the market and realize what was there, they're going to dominate the market early on. And you're going to hear a lot about NIL because players are going to there's going to be some – I think there's going to be backlash if too much of the money gets out. I know the players want – see, the marketing reps are going to want the money to get out, just like agents want it to get out because that's – it helps you recruit.
Well, everybody's going to have to file taxes on this thing, so, there's going to be – it's definitely going to be – yes, if everybody – and Jackie makes a good point. Listen, the Boone Pickens and the Phil Knights, they don't care about the return. They don't give a rat's ass. They want titles. that they Boone Pickens put $400 million into Oklahoma State facilities. There's no return on that. What he wanted was titles.
Oh.
He wants his school to win. Maybe. And Phil Knight's the same way. Look at all he's done for Oregon.
But you know, they may also fund, but Phil Knight does a tremendous amount. He already puts his money there. They also maybe guys say, I'm not paying players. I pay to get the very, if somebody else wants to do it, that's fine. Yeah. But I'm not just going to throw somebody additional, you know, when I know they're being taken care of under the table or whatever. They also may not be guys who just say, oh, I'm just scratching off, you know, we're going to hand over paper sacks of money. They may be fine with that happening with somebody else doing it.
Or they might say,
hey, I'm kicking in, I'm sorry, I'm already kicking in $25
million. Yeah. No. Or they may go, oh, yeah. Screw it.
I just don't want to accuse them of saying, just assume they're paying players.
No.
I think they might.
We'll find out.
They also have money to sue. So I just want to be careful.
We'll find out who's going to sign with Nike out of Oregon now, because they can.
Well, it's a team, but it's a Nike school.
It's right. But who's going to sign deals with them, too? We don't know.
You need to pay the whole team.
Maybe, or you just pay the star players.
Take care of the whole team. All the star players. This is supposed to be about people to have a chance that players get paid. It shouldn't be just the 1%. If you got a chance
to take
care.
Don't tell Phil Knight how to spend his money.
No, I'm saying Phil Knight, if he feels about it like you say, then why didn't Phil hook up everybody?
Well, or maybe he will, and maybe he won't. I don't know. I don't know how Phil Knight wants to spend his money.
This is truly for anyone who's a hardcore socialist or communist who fancy themselves, I'm a socialist, I'm a communist. Don't act like you love NIL, because this is going to run exactly the opposite. This is going to be true 1%er stuff.
This is capitalism at its finest. At the college
level. This is free market
economy. 8 o'clock, top of the hour, 713-780-3776 is the number. How many reps did David Mills get? And I know his name's not David Mills, but that's the headline. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.